the latest agriculture news from across the state and the nation, here's Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. Here's your host, Danielle Leal.
Hey, good Wednesday morning, and thanks for joining us today. Here on AgNet West, Farm City Newsday, jumping right into today's program headlines, Brian German is talking with us about the California proposed budget, which includes $6.7 million for technical assistance for farmers. Taylor Hellman has details on how nematodes might help space exploration with this week's episode of Making Sense of Biologicals. And I'm starting off today's program with the work that's been done toward investing in California's water infrastructure. Let's jump right in. The needs of Western water infrastructure improvements were addressed by a national coalition in letters sent to the future president, Joe Biden. The coalition, made up of more than 200 agricultural organizations nationwide, including urban and rural water districts, urged Biden to provide funding for water projects in an upcoming economic recovery package. Western Growers President and CEO Dave Puglia said, quote, "While many think of infrastructure in terms of highways, bridges, and other transportation facilities, there is an equally compelling need for federal investment in water infrastructure across the West. Meaningful and timely federal investment in water infrastructure, along with a regulatory system that prioritizes efficiency and completion of projects, is necessary to preserve our farms and strengthen our rural communities in the West." According to the group, most federal water projects are more than 50 years old and were designed to meet the proper needs of the current and future population demand, as well as climate conditions. They're asking for a diversified water management portfolio to include water conservation, water recycling, new storage, watershed management, habitat restoration, irrigation projects, and more. Another organization, a part of the coalition, is Family Farm Alliance. Executive Director Dan Keppen says, quote, "Water is the lifeblood of the West. Without reliable and affordable water supplies, every sector of our economy would suffer, from agriculture to manufacturing and high tech to local community needs. As Congress and President-elect Biden consider an infrastructure stimulus package, it is of paramount importance that maintenance, rehabilitation, and development of water infrastructure is a high priority." And now for more agriculture news, let's take a listen to this next report. Here's Taylor Hillman.
Tiny worms in space, how beneficial nematodes could aid space travel. A USDA project sent beneficial nematodes into space to see if they could be a viable option for pest control when food production will be necessary to advance space travel.
The nematodes were able to move through soil, find an insect pest, infect it, kill it, and reproduce inside it. So that's really what we wanted to see, if they could carry out all of their basic parasite functions in space.
ARS entomologist Dr. David Shapiro-Elon said the worms had a month-long interstellar trip and the project was very successful. But he does get one question a lot regarding this project. Do we have pests in space?
Really, everywhere that humans go, our pests follow us. There are organisms that have been accidentally released on the space station, and you may have heard that there's tardigrades on the moon now from a crash landing. So we do have accidents, and when you think about in the future when you have a lot of space travel, just like when we have a lot of travel here on Earth, despite our excellent efforts to keep pests out of our borders, we're unable to do so.
This is just a portion of the latest Making Sense of Biologicals program. You can listen to the entire segment at agnetwest.com. Reporting for AgNet West, I'm Taylor Hillman.
A report from the Federal Communications Commission details the impact that broadband internet has on agricultural production. In a paper titled Impact of Broadband Penetration on U.S. Farm Productivity, the FCC's Office of Economics and Analytics shows that the proliferation of broadband access has had a positive impact on crop yields and other farm production metrics. Using FCC data and information from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the report highlights the effect that broadband connectivity has had on the production of certain row crops. One of the key findings of the report is that increased broadband service has helped lower costs for things such as fertilizer, fuel, and seed. At the same time, better internet access has also resulted in better yields. For example, the data shows that a 1% increase in the number of strong broadband connections per 1,000 households is associated with a 3.6% increase in corn yields. The budget proposal from Governor Gavin Newsom includes some significant funding to support small and mid-sized farmers. During a media call last week, CDFA Secretary Karen Ross highlighted one of the budget items to help California agriculture.
One of the programs I'm especially excited about is an investment in technical assistance and support to our small and mid-sized farmers. The budget proposes $6.7 million in general fund, $3.35 million for the current year and $3.35 million for the budget year, to contract with the University of California Cooperative Extension to provide direct technical assistance and grants to technical assistance providers to support our small and mid-sized and underserved farmers. These resources will be important in helping these farmers with business planning and market recovery planning, as well as navigating our very complex regulatory compliance maze.
For AgNet West Radio Network, I'm Brian German.
Thanks for those reports, Brian. It is time for us to head out for a quick break, but we'll be right back with more of the day's agriculture news, including our livestock report from Randall Wiseman when we return. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley, state, and nation, and provides reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money. Wild Eye solutions include soil moisture monitoring, weather stations with frost alerts, flow monitoring and compliance reporting for Sigma and SB88, pump and valve control, and many more. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today online at mywildeye.com.
And we're back with more on the day's Farm City News Day. Here's Brian German with another agriculture report.
The California Rice Commission's annual grower meeting is coming up on January 21st and 22nd. CRC spokesperson Jim Morris explained that this year's virtual meeting will have a variety of speakers highlighting the most important topics for growers.
Well, we will miss the in-person contact, but because of COVID-19, that's just not possible. So we do have a virtual format, and I'm pretty excited about it. I think it will be very informative. We have a great lineup of speakers, including a new presenter who will be outstanding. So this will happen January 21st for half of the presentations, and then the 22nd for the second half of presentations. We will have a video program that industry people and others that are interested are welcome to watch. All of the information will be at calricenews.org, including a place for you to sign up if you want email updates. Our speakers this year include Jim Wiesmeyer of Pro Farmer. He is fantastic, and he will have a look at issues in Washington, D.C. following the federal election. Certainly a lot going on there, and I think that's going to be captivating. We also have Tyson Redpath of the Russell Group in Washington, D.C. He'll be taking a look at farm policy and other key federal issues, always a lot of areas of interest for our industry. The state capitol and the issues there are also critically important, and so we have Louis Brown of Consorries in Conway, and he will take a look at state government issues. Water is also a critical topic always in California. Fortunately, we are having some more storm activity, which helps with rain in the valley, snow in the Sierra, but still always something that is very interesting and important for our industry. And so we have David Guy with the Northern California Water Association, who will have updates. And another federal look will be Betsy Ward, the head of USA Rice, will be looking at some of the key issues, including international trade and policy. So it will be a really strong, well-rounded program that will be available to anyone who's interested in a virtual format.
For AgNet West Radio Network, I'm Brian German.
Well, in today's livestock news, beef producers will have a new opportunity to promote their product in February. Clay Bertram is vice chair of the Federation of State Beef Councils, and he says a new opportunity for beef is sponsoring a NASCAR event.
With this pandemic, we're seeing some great opportunities, as many businesses are. We had an opportunity, and on Saturday, February the 13th, the green flag a wave with the start of the Beef It's What's for Dinner 300 at Daytona International Speedway. This is the big race of the year. Most sporting events have their finale at the end of the year, but not NASCAR. This is the big deal. It's the Xfinity race. We had an opportunity to sponsor that. We'll have a large TV audience, radio audience, and this is for all the farmers and ranchers out there, truck drivers carrying our products across the nation, the farmers in the field. It was a huge opportunity for us to sponsor this race.
Now, the Beef, it's What's for Dinner race in Daytona, Florida. It takes place one day before the iconic Daytona 500. It's the biggest race of the season, of course, in NASCAR. He says it's a remarkable opportunity to promote Beef because consumers and fans will hear about the product every time someone simply says the name of the race.
Oh, yeah, you'll see those guys in the booth. Our name will be there. There'll be a lot of TV advertisements. You're going to see a lot of stuff. Just stay tuned because there's going to be a lot of stuff that you're going to see rolling out with this sponsorship of this race on Saturday, February the 13th.
Now, the promotional opportunities come about because of a lot of hard work at the federal and state levels.
This is really a collaborative partnership between the Federation and many of our state Beef Council partnerships. When this opportunity was brought to us, we looked at this being a collaborative partnership between the Federation and our state Beef Council partners.
Again, that was Vice Chair of the Federation of State Beef Councils, Clay Bertram. For more information about the Beef, it's What's for Dinner 300. Just simply go to the Daytona International Speedway website, DaytonaInternationalSpeedway.com. And USDA's 2021 Agricultural Resource Management Survey is going to be taking a deep dive into the swine industry. With more on that story, here's Stephanie Ho.
The swine industry is one focus of USDA's Agricultural Resource Management Survey, or ARMS.
Every few years, we cycle through a series of commodities, so corn, soybeans, wheat, and of course, hogs and pigs are one of those things. And so only once every several years, we make it back around to each of these commodities.
Agricultural Statistics Board Chair Joe Parsons says this is a closer look at the swine industry.
At the structure of these industries and also how industry practices are changing and evolving. And so it is really a deep dive. It's a great resource for the entire sector and those that advocate for the sector.
Surveys were mailed out at the end of December, and producers have until April 23rd to complete them either online at agcounts.usda.gov or on hard copy and mailed back to USDA.
The survey is quite extensive, and it'll take some investment and time to get through. And we will be asking some additional questions about COVID-19-related impacts on production.
This is Stephanie Ho for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Stephanie, and I'm Randall Wiseman for Agnet West.
Oftentimes, producers can be intimidated by filling out a survey because of confidentiality. But USDA protects the confidentiality and availability of the information it collects in the many surveys it carries out. USDA's Stephanie Ho has more with Agriculture Statistics Board Chair Joe Parsons in this report.
USDA guarantees confidentiality and availability of the information collected in its surveys.
Unlike private surveys, all NAS publications are available to everyone at the same time for free. And I would also share that, you know, NAS has no proprietary or policy interest in the numbers to be a certain way or another way.
Joe Parsons is with the National Agricultural Statistics Service.
When it comes to privacy and confidentiality, NAS is required by law, federal law, to maintain the privacy of individual producers and operations.
Other safeguards include publishing only aggregated data,
ensuring that no individual operation or producer can be identified. And I just want to thank the producers out there in advance for their time and effort to fill these surveys out. It's important for the entire industry. It's important for agriculture to be able to know where we are and what the situation ahead looks like.
Agricultural Resource Management Survey questionnaires were mailed out to producers at the end of December. This is Stephanie Ho for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
You're listening to Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leal. We'll be right back. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley, state, and nation, and provides reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money. Wild Eye solutions include soil moisture monitoring, weather stations with frost alerts, flow monitoring and compliance reporting for Sigma and SB88, pump and valve control, and many more. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today online at mywildeye.com.
Welcome back to Farm City News Day by Agnet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leal. Today we have the latest installment of the Making Sense of Biologicals program with Agnet West, Taylor Hillman. As we teased earlier, today's episode is about a product that sent beneficial nematodes into space and why researchers would do that. Here's Taylor with the story.
Welcome to another episode of the Making Sense of Biologicals campaign, a weekly series that'll take a dive into various topics with unbiased experts in the field of biologics. This episode's made possible by Pure Crop One, an all-organic formula for when you want just one tool that does it all, an insecticide, fungicide, biostimulant, and super surfactant. Containing only 7 plant-based ingredients, Pure Crop One is naturally safe for the planet, humans, animals, and even beneficial insects. For more information, you can visit purecropone.com. Today's episode is going to be kind of fun, a research subject you don't often hear about, and we welcome back our friend, USDA's entomologist, David Shapiro-Ilan. Dr. Shapiro, thank you so much for coming back on the show. Kind of a fun topic here, and I'll start real goofy. You guys made tiny worms astronauts, right? Tell me what this means.
Yeah, that's right. It was a really exciting project. We got to send the little nematodes that we studied, the small round worms that kill insects and natural biopesticides, we sent them up to the International Space Station to see how they would function.
How long were they up there for?
So the nematodes were there for 1 month. They launched on December 5th, and then we got them splashed down a month later, and then they were sent to us for analysis.
So why send these beneficial nematodes into space?
There were really two objectives. One was basic science, because these nematodes, we know that they navigate in the soil and infect insects based on certain signals or cues that they respond to. And some of those we found are electromagnetic signals that they rely on Earth to navigate in the soil, and we wanted to see if those are really requisite, or could they use other cues to find insects in space when those electromagnetic signals are absent or distorted. And what we saw was they can find the insects in space based on other cues such as CO2 or other volatile gases given off by the insect. They can still move through soil and find the insects. So that was one of the objectives, which was the basic science. And then the other is more from a futuristic but practical side, is when we are living in space or traveling further in space and needing to grow food in space, we're likely going to have pest insects just like we do here. And how are we going to control those insect pests? Do we have to rely on chemical insecticides, which we may not want to have floating around with us? Or can we use natural biocontrol agents like the nematodes? Will they still function in space? And therefore, we can use them to grow crops or to help grow crops in the future. And that was the second objective.
Dr. Shapiro, this may be a dumb question, but are there a lot of pests in space? Is this something that we do need to control?
No, it's a good question. And, you know, we thought about that. And when you consider that really everywhere that humans go, our pests follow us. You know, now when we only have one space station, the chances of contamination with pests may be minimal, but at the same time, there are organisms that have been accidentally released on the space station. And you may have heard that there's tardigrades on the moon now from a crash landing. So we do have accidents. And when you think about when you have a lot of traffic in the future, when you have a lot of space travel, just like when we have a lot of travel here on Earth, despite our excellent efforts to keep pests out of our nation and from crossing other borders, we're unable to do so because, as I say, they follow us everywhere. They're going to be with us, and we expect that there will be pests in space eventually that we will have to control.
Well, and like in this case, sometimes they're extremely small. And, you know, trying to mitigate that can be hard because of just the sheer size of these insects.
Right, right. Some insects are, you really won't see them as they tag along with whatever's going on to the spaceship. So, yeah, we expect that there will be pests. I'd be surprised if there weren't. So eventually we'll need to have some kind of pest control in space. And we'd prefer it to be a safe and sustainable method of our pest control.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about the potential of growing food in space, you're right. Keeping a chemical or a synthetic on hand to be able to keep those crops growing, that does sound a little dangerous. So having a natural thing here is kind of what you're looking at.
That's right. Yeah, have safe, sustainable agriculture up in space, just like we want to have here.
I think one of the things we don't think about when we talk about space travel is the longevity and what's needed for the astronauts to be up there. Food is one of the limiting factors. And so to be able to grow food, not only longer distances for these guys, but also longer times. And it makes sense. And so this is kind of the first step in seeing if we could do that up there.
That's right. And it did come out very well in that the nematodes were able to move through soil, find an insect pest, infect it, kill it, and reproduce inside it. So that's really what we wanted to see, if they could carry out all of their basic parasite functions in space.
Okay, so they acted fine, did what they were supposed to do. It confirmed that the importance of these signals, as you were talking about earlier, that they do down here on Earth. Did they come back down okay? Was there any side effect or something interesting from this?
There was. The ones that were born here on Earth with gravity and remained up there for a month and came back, they were fine. But what we found is the nematodes that were born in space and came back had reduced fitness or died, which was somewhat unexpected. But coming back to a gravity situation from a microgravity situation was, I guess, too much stress for them. And it's kind of funny in a way, because if you're familiar with a lot of science fiction shows, you'll see that they depict that scenario that humans or other humanoids that in the science fiction shows that may not be used to our gravity, when they come to our gravity, they suffer. And it turns out there's scientific backing for that, and we observe that.
And we'll hear more from USDA's Dr. David Shapiro Elon after the break.
Remember, you're listening to Farm City News Day by AgNet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leal. We'll be right back with more of this episode after the break. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley, state, and nation, and provides reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money. Wild Eye solutions include soil moisture monitoring, weather stations with frost alerts, flow monitoring and compliance reporting for Sigma and SB88, pump and valve control, and many more. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today online at mywildeye.com.
You're listening to Farm City News Day by AgNet West. Let's get back to the interview.
We've been talking with USDA ARS entomologist Dr. David Shapiro Elon about his research that sent nematodes into space and how they're able to function in that environment. Dr. Shapiro said the beneficial nematodes acted fine, and so that's good news looking forward to food production in space. But he did say they had a negative reaction to coming back down to gravity when they returned to Earth. No, that is interesting. I was just going to bring that up. There is a couple older science fiction movies that do depict that. And so that is interesting. So that's a real thing in some cases.
Right. Yeah, we saw it. And we were surprised at such a small organism like the nematodes that, you know, if they're in the soil, you can't even see them. But even they were impacted by this return to gravity.
That's very interesting. So with that, would there be an issue in getting these nematodes to some other planet or, you know, just into the station itself? I mean, there's going to be a different way that we're going to have to look at getting these nematodes to these different areas with that, knowing that right now, right?
Well, I think, you know, if we send them out and they're coming from Earth with the gravity, as long as they're on a spaceship or a space station traveling in space, they're going to be fine. Even the subsequent generations will be. But then whenever you're thinking they're going to come back to a gravity situation on this planet or another, then you're going to have some other kind of backup, maybe to keep some of the nematodes in cryopreservation if you're taking them somewhere else, and then remove them at that time. We may be able to sustain their ability to withstand gravity that way.
Really exciting research, and like I said, definitely pretty cool. It's cool to think about that you're working on a project that will allow astronauts to do their job better and longer in the future.
Yeah, we're really excited to have been part of this. It's a great project, and we'd like to do more and build on it in the future.
Very good. Again, USDA ARS entomologist David Shapiro Elon. Dr. Shapiro, I really appreciate your time.
I appreciate it too. It's a lot of fun. Thank you.
Again, this has been another installment of the Making Sense of Biologicals program. It's a series to help spread the understanding of the biologics field with unbiased experts. And again, this episode is made possible by PureCrop One, an all-organic formula when you just want one tool that does it all. An insecticide, fungicide, biostimulant, and super surfactant containing only 7 plant-based ingredients. For more information, visit purecropone.com.
Thanks, Taylor. And in more agriculture news, a top farm organization leader says it's time to, quote, turn the page on partisan politics. Farm Bureau President Zibby Duvall made the comments during an opening press conference as part of American Farm Bureau Federation's virtual annual convention. Duvall says, quote, "We've got to work together as one country, one people, for the good of all people in this country." Farm Bureau members will develop policy priorities this week for the organization to follow in 2021. With the incoming Biden administration, top priorities are expected to be climate change, taxes, and labor, along with strengthening the Farm Bill. Duvall says, quote, "We must make sure that we're at the table for the discussions around addressing climate change. I believe agriculture's great track record shows just how much we can achieve when farmers and ranchers are at the table when we develop solutions." NAFB contributed to this report.
To get more information on the topics you heard today, visit AgNet West online at agnetwest.com. You can follow AgNet West on Twitter and Facebook with @AgNetWest. Follow Brian German with @BrianAgNetWest, Danielle Leal with @DLealAgNetWest, and Taylor Hillman with @TheManOfTheHill. This has been Farm City Newsday by AgNet West.